Well, I thought maybe I'd better write you another tape. I just got yours today, and you said on it whether you didn't know whether I've received your other tape or not, and I guess I didn't tell you. I wrote you a letter, I don't know, about a week and a half ago, I guess, and I don't remember mentioning whether I got the tape or not, but I did, in fact, get the tape, and it was an outstanding tape, very interesting, and it had a little bit of everybody, and I especially was glad to hear of Larry Ruleen's voice and the Ruleen family and my sister and her husband, and of course yourself and grandparents. I guess I didn't hear the grandparents on it though, but they were real good on this tape. And I see your grandmother's still the same, so I guess we're getting rid of all the formalities. Maybe I better tell you what's going on now. Well, I moved down to my little bunker here, so I hope peace and quiet. But just happened, couldn't help but noticing that our bunker is cracking. And we might have to get a centerpiece up here again. Wait one. Well, anyway, all right. I said before that in the letter that we moved, and the whole division, lock, stock, and barrel, is moving from Onkay up here toward Way. And when I wrote the letter, I was at a LZ that we built called Tombstone. It was changed to El Paso, the name of it. Then we moved out of that and let the 101st Airborne take over that, who just got over here. Now we're associated or situated about halfway between Way and Quantry, and you've heard a heck of a lot about Quantry, which is where we're working right now. And the last 3 days we've killed just about 2,000 enemy soldiers, all NVA, and we've been working pretty hard up here, and we're getting a lot of ships shot up. Out of the division, one day we had 19 ships that were shot up. I don't know if any were shot down, but some of them were shot up. We had two in this company shot up, and they weren't too bad, and they were, made it back just in time before they both fuel cells were shot out, so they ran out of fuel just as they touched down, which is real handy. So far I've been shot at, but same as usual, I haven't been hit yet, and which it'll keep up, that my kind of luck will keep up that way anyway. So don't worry about what's going on or what you're reading in the papers. It is pretty bad up here, but it's probably actually worse than Doctow. But we have a whole division up here, and we're taking care of what's going on pretty good. And the Marines are just kind of sitting back and watching, because they've never been as successful as we. Reason being, not that they're not as good as soldiers or anything, but it's just they don't have the equipment that the 1st Cav Division does to work with, and the tactics that the 1st Cav Division uses. And one thing I've learned over here is that where the Marines have all this esprit de corps and all the famous battles and so forth, blood and guts, that they're still unchanged from when they assaulted beaches in the Second World War and so forth. They are not flexible, and they can't change. They don't have the ability to change with the situation as the Army does, and therefore they're not as effective over here as we are. And I was saying that the Marines really didn't like us up here at all. They closed off our POL points to us, POL meaning where we refuel the aircraft, and they closed off water supplies. So we had to get our own water treatment plant up here, and then we get our own POL. Right now we're at an old Marine camp, but the Marines have moved out, and I'm stationed at a place called Camp Evans, which is, like I said, halfway between Way and Quantry. Now Way is spelled H-U-E, and it is pronounced Way. Onkay is pronounced Onkay, not Onkay. So, Quantry, I don't know how it's spelled, Q-U-A-N. Capital T-R-I, it's pronounced Quantry. North of that is a place called Dong Ha. Northwest is Quezon. Northwest by about 50 miles is Quezon. And it's about, maybe 8 or 10 miles northwest of Dong Ha is Con Thien, which you've probably heard quite a bit about. So far, Con Thien's been pretty quiet. Quezon's getting hit pretty heavy. And around here has been hit heavy. But we're pretty squared away. When I first moved to El Paso, First order of the day is we're getting awful far north. It's actually getting cold up here. Now, we haven't got quite the snow-capped mountains yet, but we're getting up here to where the air is fresh. And first thing we did was build a bunker for suspected attacks. We never did get hit. We were there for about 5 days. And then we moved to Evans here, and we built another bunker. And I'm sitting in it now. It's outstanding bunker. I designed it myself, and I designed it so it would withstand a rocket attack, 140-millimeter rocket attack. It's 3 sandbags thick, which makes it almost 4 feet thick of sandbags. And it's got 4x12 beams, two of them run across, and we've got solid steel planking used for airstrips for our roof, and on top of that, two layers of sandbags. So we could take a direct hit on the side without absolutely no harm, but if we took a hit on the top, it would probably, some of the fragments would come through. However, you don't get hit on the top with a rocket. A rocket's a flat trajectory type weapon, and you do get hit on the top of the mortar, however, but it's two sandbag layers thick will withstand a mortar. So if I start hearing them coming in, then I'll be in my bunker and I'll be safe and sound. So don't worry about that either. Also, this bunker is built 4 feet underground, and it's only about 2 feet high above ground, so we could take a nuclear blast in here and we'd be out of sight. No sweat whatsoever. It's no sweat. And we've been doing pretty good. Westmoreland's real proud of us up here, and I don't know, you probably, when you get read this, or hear this tape, you'll probably be reading the newspapers about all the outbreaks of attacks on capital cities of provinces. Khartoum got attacked, and Pleiku, and Saigon, and Benoit. Just about all of Vietnam got attacked all at once. The main reason this is to divert U.S. forces away from the northern area, and its tactic has failed. We are not moving, and we're really coming out on top up here. So far, since we've been up here, we've only had about 10 or 12 people killed in the division. And like I said, we've got over 2,000 enemy killed. And this isn't any BS that I'm passing on to you. This is by body count, and I don't know exactly what you're hearing in the radios over there, but this is the truth. And I have witnessed most of this myself. As far as the aircraft getting shot up, I don't know how many say that, but we had 19 one day, and every one will be serviceable in another day or two. So when you hear of an aircraft plane getting shot up or shot down, it's usually for a very short period of time, and very seldom anybody get killed. We've had two airplanes shot up in this company, and out of the two airplanes, we've had three people get Purple Hearts, but the Purple Hearts were earned for little pieces of plexiglass from the windshield and stuff, getting a few scratches on them. Everybody else was flying the next day. In fact, some of them flew the same day. And so you can tell that nothing really is real bad up here. We're flying different up here than we did before. We're flying almost all low level for two reasons. They have heavy weapons up here, 37-millimeter anti-aircraft weapons, plus they've got heat-seeking radar-guided missiles. Now, we're completely out of range of those weapons when we're 3 feet above the ground. The only thing that we're affected by is small arms fire. And we travel so fast, so low over the trees, that by the time they have us in sight and shoot, they're usually behind us and miss. And we do, once in a while, get a bullet hole in the airplane, but it's usually in the tail section or someplace, and nobody gets hurt. We've also having some we've also captured an enemy flag today, and a regular NVA type flag. We were just moseying around the countryside and spotted a NVA hospital or a recreation area plus a CP, and flying above the CP was a regular North Vietnamese flag. It was it's two-tone flag. It's got a red stripe at the top. It's a solid red and blue, and half the flag is red and the other half is blue. The stripe runs horizontal, and right in the middle is a yellow star. And we have, in fact, got this flag in our possession. We did capture it. We captured a a trailer load of weapons today and killed a few people from a slick, which is unusual. Which it wasn't me, it was our fight leader who got to do all the work, but still we benefited from it. Yesterday, one of our pilots, gunners, got 25 NVA, confirmed body count, which is very unusual for a slick type aircraft to do this, because most of our job doesn't allow us for this kind of action. However, they what happened, they saw him out in the open. Everybody's dream is flying an NVA out in the open, and they just slaughtered him. And that was pretty good. Maybe I can give you a little orientation of what the weather is like up here. So far, first few days we're up here, it was real foggy in the morning, stayed 0-0, which means zero visibility and zero ceiling. To about 10 o'clock, and it cleared up, and it was outstanding, beautiful weather, negative ceiling, and 15 miles visibility. But lately, since we moved up here, Evans, it's kind of been drizzly, or you might say the air is moist, you walk and you get wet. It's not really raining, it's just sort of typical Oregon weather. The ceiling's low, and it stays low all day long, so we've been flying very 100-foot ceilings and real bad weather. Visibility being poor is what we've been flying the last couple of days. And I should give you a good idea. Around here, the terrain is somewhat like I described in the letter. It's like Bend is if you cut all the trees down. It's rolly and dry and rocky. Rocky meaning small stones you trip over, not big stuff. And then as you head farther west, you get into some rigor wilderness, waterfalls and fast-moving streams. Heavy trees and so forth, just like Dock Toll was around that area. We're on a coastal plain again. Mountains start quite a bit inland, up far north as we are, and then the mountains are, in fact, the trail end of the range that Mount Everest is in. The one at, well, I can't remember the name of it right offhand. So. Maybe I'd give you an idea. I haven't taken too many pictures up here, but I've taken quite a few, and I'm glad to hear that you did get my pictures and you do enjoy them. And maybe if you write me a letter or something and tell me what you don't understand or what I might be able to explain to you, I'll do my best on the tape. And on the tape before, you asked me to explain what six meant. Well, six is the call sign of the company commander. Our call sign, company call sign right now is Clipper, so our company commander is Clipper 6. And our battalion call sign is Shooting Star, so our battalion commander is Shooting Star 6, and so forth. That's what 6 mean, is the company commander, or the commanding officer of that particular unit. My call sign is 10. I'm Yankee Clipper 10. 10 is being the commo officer, or the security control officer. So whatever my call sign being, the company call sign is, plus my number, 10. So that's pretty good. I'm one of the few people in the company that's actually got a call sign. Everybody else is just goes by aircraft numbers or mission numbers. Now, 6 meant the company commander, or 5 means the company XO, or the executive officer. So our company XO is Clipper 5. 1-6 is first platoon leader. 2-6 is second platoon leader. 3-6 is third platoon leader. 4-6 is fourth platoon leader. And 1-5, 2-5, 3-5, and 4-5 are assistant platoon leaders. 1-6, 1-8. 2-6, 2-8, I mean, 1-7 and 1-8, 2-7 and 2-8, 3-7 and 3-8 are all assistant, or section leaders, section leaders. The 3 is the operations officer, and 5-6 is the maintenance officer, so everybody's got their call sign. And that's the way it is in every unit in the Army, 6 company commander and so forth all the way down. Also, I just remembered the mountain ranges, the Himalayas, do come all the way and end in Vietnam, so right now I'm fighting a war in part of the Himalayas, so you can just see how far east I actually am. And it looks like I'm just about out of tape, so I think I'll just end this side and turn it over and see what goes on there so far.
Brush up the fare, all in residents, their assistants, and inspectors. So, your mother will be here by herself for 3 days, her and the cat, so she can pet and comb the cat. That makes her happy, because then she doesn't have to cook or clean house or nothing anyway. So we're getting pretty close to the end of this tape, I guess, the way it looks. You can't tell exactly on this solid deal. I don't know what in the world we're going to talk about for this much more. Like you say, these tapes have got lots of length to them. Grandmother says she's not as bad as we say she is. But I don't think we have to tell you. I think you know anyway. I guess we about run out of words, so we'll have to stop and play a few hands of cards here, so we'll have something else to talk about. So,
You get sick when you play,
quick. Yeah, she's been kind of ill every time we play cards, because apparently she doesn't want to lose any money, or she knows she'll lose anyway. So every time we start to play cards, why, she gets an ache or pain or something. Anyway, we'll sign off now for a little while and figure out something to fill the other half of this tape up with. May have to give you a little music or something on it.